Welcome back to Success Made at Last. I'm Rick Tokini. Our very special guest today is Cynthia Round, former Procter & Gamble executive and United Way chairwoman. She is one of our favorite brand managers of all times and great ambassadors. Cynthia, welcome to our show.
Thank you. Delighted to be here.
Tell us about your career journey, especially your time in Italy and as a strategist.
Happily, I did start my career right out of college from Oklahoma State University. I started with Procter & Gamble. And after about 4 years in Cincinnati in brand management, I requested an international assignment because I had a great deal of interest in learning more about business and marketing around the world and also just living in the world. So I had the great opportunity to work for Procter & Gamble Italia and to launch Pampers to the Italian market. And that was my last responsibility with P&G. And when I was going to come back to the U.S., at that point, I was very interested in positioning and marketing. So I jumped the fence to the agency side, and I worked for Ogilvy Advertising for many years, working not only in packaged goods, but high tech and entertainment and lots of other categories. And I also managed the agency's pro bono portfolio. And it was while I was doing that and working with some of our nonprofit pro bono clients that I really got excited about the idea of using brand strategy to create social change and social good. And so I started my own independent consulting practice with nonprofits, and United Way became one of my first clients because they had been a pro bono client at Ogilvy. And I worked with them briefly, and then they hired me, and I came in as the executive vice president of brand strategy and marketing and worked there for about a dozen years, helping United Way spread in 40 countries around the world, do rebranding and really work at it, working with 1,800 local United Ways in 40 countries around the world. And then I got recruited out of United Way by the Metropolitan Museum of Art about 4 years ago to go in and help them with a rebranding and rethink how to make the museum more open and accessible to a broader group of people, and to also help them open up a third museum. So that was my most recent job, and I'm actually now back to advising nonprofits and cultural organizations on their brand strategy and user experience.
Wow, what a journey. We should have requested a move to Italy. So you made a comment in our book, When Core Values Are Strategic, that experiences are to be shared and replicated, especially to create the best version for culture. Tell us about that.
Well, I think that is an interesting way to think about culture. As you said, even in a family, in a place of faith, I mean, really all collections of people, and of course, even as people, we sort of have our own brand or our culture ourselves. Well, what I meant by that is that I do think it's very important to write it down and to be clear about the values and the character. I think more in terms of brand character than brand and organizational character and culture. But as most things in life, actions are a lot more important than words. And so what I really meant by that is that it's the experience you create within an organization, an institution, corporation, or family. It's the experience you create, it's both the internal and the external, that with your staff and those who belong to the group, but also then in the case of, you know, of companies, those who are your customers or your donors or your users. And I've just found that over time, it's like building a human relationship, creating a culture which is founded in trust, that authenticity is very important. You have to be who you really are. So the culture has to be authentic. And then this thing about being consistent, you know, that your words and your actions have to match. That's how you create a consistent culture that can be replicated. But I do think it's very important to be intentional about creating this culture. And, you know, it's been famously said that culture eats strategy for breakfast. And I think that it's true that you can have the greatest strategy in the world, but if you don't have the kind of culture to support it, you will if not fail, you will certainly not achieve the success that's possible.
So also comment to those who have gone through several career changes and are considering finishing out their career and doing something else with the rest of their life.
Well, that is, I will say, one of my favorite subjects. And, you know, most of us, I think, when we look back on our careers, and I always say this to young people who are starting out, you look at someone's career or, you know, their resume, their CV, and it kind of can seem linear and it seems to make perfect sense. And yet we all know, those of us who've lived these careers, Rick, you know, we know it didn't actually happen that way. You know, you're making decisions all along the way that shape a career. And I've always believed in thinking with my heart with regard to my career. Frankly, I do that with almost everything. But of course, it is a rational issue and process. But I have found that in managing my own career, it's been important to think with my heart and to listen to my gut. And that, you know, if you trace back, and I made the comment earlier about requesting the international assignment from P&G, because it's what I wanted to do. It wasn't because I knew that it was going to be the smartest career move, but it's what I really wanted with my life next. And so it was the sort of thing that happened. Or moving to the nonprofit sector is not, you know, classically the smartest way or the best way to leverage, a strong and solid marketing and business career, but it's what I wanted to do. I really thought that I was, that I had gained experience and I had learned something that could be of much greater help if I really tried to help and work with nonprofits to leverage brand strategy to create their good. So I've always said to, you know, used in my own career and said to people working for me that there are four questions you have to ask about your career, and that is, you know, am I learning and growing? Am I making a contribution? Is that contribution being recognized? And am I having any fun? And I don't see why those questions should change as people who are CEOs and thinking about, you know, possibly moving out of what they've built their career on into something else. Those are the same four questions. They're really the questions of life, I think. And it's so important to just know what your true gifts and talents are and to stay true to those and to follow them. And, you know, my latest move into the Met Museum was an example of finally really truly blending avocation and vocation, because I'd always travel around the world. I'm kind of a self-evolved culture junkie. I spend all my time in museums, and I love art, and I traveled all over the world seeing it, and that's what I always did for fun. And then I was this marketing person, and I applied it in the commercial world and then in the nonprofit sector, and that's really what my vocation was. And someone had once said to me that there are some things you do for love and some things you do for money. And I thought maybe it was important to keep those separate. But I will say that having this last incredibly wonderful experience at the Metropolitan Museum of Art, I listened more to Beverly Sills' advice, which is find something you love so much that you would pay to do it and then have them pay you. And so when I blended my vocation of marketing and business and strategy with the avocation for art, it really came together for me in a really wonderful career crescendo. And now I'm, you know, thinking very much about how to still work with cultural institutions and other nonprofits that have a mission to do that in a way that combines all of those great passions. And I just hope that any of our listeners or anyone that thinks about their next step, that they are thinking with their heart, that they hang on, as you said, hang on to that fire in the belly and the thing that makes you get excited about getting up every day, because there are just so many wonderful, you know, opportunities in life to continue doing that and continuing to contribute and make a difference.
Absolutely. It's about being authentic, consistent, and being intentional. Cynthia, we think that you should write a book about merging avocation and vocation. Now, back to Italy. What did you learn in your time in Italy that helped crystallize your entire thinking on corporate culture?
Anyone who's been to Italy knows that it is such an amazing country and has a wonderful, wonderful culture. And I will say that the first thing, and this might seem a bit antithetical to a conversation about careers and about culture, but, you know, the first thing that I learned is about taking time to smell the roses and about life, you know, that's just such an incredible opportunity experience. And the Italians that I would meet would say, you know, we don't get it really with you Americans. You seem to work to live, and you seem to live to work, and we work to live. And that seems to be an important difference. And so I would say that, you know, from a cultural perspective, and one of the things I learned by working, first just working in a culture that was not my own, was about the importance of flexibility, personal flexibility, being flexible, being able and willing to question what you know and you don't know, and being able to, you know, stay true to what you're trying to do, but to be open to additional input and to thinking about things differently. And so that was really a part of, probably would have happened to me in any culture, but it was particularly true, I think, of Italy, which has this incredible zest for life. And just as kind of a reminder about this thing of, you know, that we only have one life, nothing, you know, tomorrow is not assured or guaranteed. So even in our work, it becomes very important, as I said, to take time and smell the roses, to have the glass of wine, to talk with your friends, and to just be sure that you're, you know, doing the things that are most important to you. And I think if you create a culture, not just a country culture, but a, you know, a family or a corporate culture, which is also based on that kind of flexibility, on honoring people as people, and while of course the tasks must be done, and it's important, as we learned at Procter, of having personal accountability and a performance culture, does not mean that you don't also have to really nurture your people, encourage, inspire, and reward them. And those, as I've found, are the best, you know, ways that, that culture comes together, where it's honoring both the expectation of performance and moving ahead and success, but doing that in a way that doesn't burn people out and really, you know, and again, nurtures and honors who they are. And that I certainly learned in spades in Italy.
You know, Cynthia, you should be selected as a U.S. ambassador to bring some order to all this chaos.
Well, sign me up. I'd be ready to go. I was, in fact, just in Geneva. I was just in Geneva last week. I was brought over by the U.S. mission to the U.N. to talk about really innovation through branding through the lens of innovation and thinking about really creating social good with branding and just how to develop brands. And I have to say, I met lots of wonderful NGOs and lots of people with the State Department and working with, you know, trying to work right now in that arena. And they do have some challenges, but it'd be a great privilege. I'm ready to go.
Hey, Cynthia, share your vision to our listeners about becoming the best version of yourself.
Well, I'm going to repeat one, because I think this idea of thinking with your heart is like the most important advice that I can share and to give, is that, you know, just be sure that you're also honoring your instinct and your, and the things that you care about and you feel passionately about, as well as you think through rationally, what makes sense, you know, what it is that you want to pursue. And the other one, I touched on it briefly, but I think this idea of really knowing what your true passion is, one, or your true gifts and talents. I think one of the things that we sometimes as individuals don't recognize our unique gifts, because we think that they're easy, because they're easy for us, they're easy for everyone. So I just want to say to young people to be sure that you've identified, you know, what your strength and your talent is, and lead with that. And it might not be the thing that, you know, that is normal, or it might not be the thing that you have written down first, and it could be a very special you know, opportunities, special gift that you have to offer. And if you will then do, if you'll know that and then lead and think with your heart, I think that's how you can best build a career, both starting out and build it over the long haul.
Well, thanks, Cynthia. You are welcome back anytime.
Well, thank you. It's a delight to be with you again, Rick.
That was Cynthia Round. We appreciate her being a part of our Success Made to Last show today. And as we always say, may you be the best version of yourself and practice greatness. Have a great week. So thanks to our sponsor, Edward Jones. They are our trusted financial advisor. And Edward Jones has been instrumental in helping us pivot our lives built around health, happiness, travel, and adding value to other people's lives. You can contact our advisor, Serban Marasini, by emailing him at serban.marasine@edwardjones.com. And thanks again to their sponsorship of this program.